Joining us now, very pleased to welcome my next guest. He represents folks, I guess, points St. Clair County and South. State Senator Jim McClendon joins us on the line. Senator, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm doing fine. It's humming around the State House, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you and your listeners.
Humming around the State House, that could be good or bad. I'm going to be optimistic and think maybe it could mean good things later on.
Yeah, well, it will. You know, most stuff up here gets filtered pretty well. It's the whole system is set up where it's a whole lot easier to kill a bill than it is to pass a bill. There's just a lot of opportunities to put one in the ground. But in any event, there will be some bills come out. And I've one bill that's not coming out, and you mentioned you're going to interview Galyon. I would think his suit's dead now since omnibus gaming bill that Senator Marsh worked so hard on is history.
Yeah, it dies kind of a strange death. I didn't think, I don't know. Walk us through kind of what you saw happen. It seemed to me it was a little rushed. Did he think he had the votes and decided to pull the trigger and then found out that he didn't? I mean, why yesterday?
Well, yeah, he found out that he didn't after you call the roll and votes were recorded. He got 19 and he had to have 21. Constitutional amendment requires 3/5. Of the total number of senators, which would be 21. So he missed it by 2. That's pretty wide. That's a bigger miss than I thought was going to happen. I thought it would be plus or minus 1, and I didn't know which way it was going to go. I kind of felt like it might go because he worked very hard and trying to work with everybody individually to satisfy their needs and their requests, but it didn't pay off. Trying to look back, of course, it's easy. It's really easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, isn't it? But I think the bill's complexity is probably a part of the problem. You know, it dealt with Poarch Creek Indians. It dealt with casinos at locations. It picked winners and losers, added a location for Poarch Creek. It dealt with Green Track and Victory Land and a lottery was in there, too. And with that many elements, I think you managed just a wider array of opportunity to pick up opposition.
Yeah, that's the struggle, and it's always going to be the struggle no matter what. And I don't know unless things change, but you want one, you got to deal with all these other problems. It's just in this time in Alabama, you have entities with leverage over the state, Poarch Creek Indians and the old Milton McGregor dog tracks. They are in a position to really be bargaining with the state, and you're not going to get one without dealing with the others.
It's going to be interesting to see now. Immediately upon failure of that bill, I dropped legislation for a lottery, very straightforward, simple lottery, and intentionally, I'm actually going to put a substitute out, but what the substitute will do, what the substitute won't do, what it will not do, is have any mention of Poarch Creek Indians, any mention of Green Track, or church bingo, or charity bingo, they call it. It's not talking about any of these things, not affecting anybody that's out there doing whatever they're doing. All it does is it creates a lottery for Alabama, just like every state around us has. I think we're up to, we might be up to 46 states now, I'm not sure. I kind of lost count, that have lotteries, and we're the oddball. So I've come with a lottery proposal. And we'll see what happens with that. If in fact the complexity of Senator Marsh's bill was a problem, then this bill I'm offering might have a chance.
Are you worried about though the implications? And this is where it gets the tricky part. That you expand a lottery, you're legalizing gambling, and then suddenly the Porch Creek Indians have a competitive advantage over existing dog tracks, and that may not be, you know, that's a problem they'll have to deal with, but that might lose you votes along the way.
No question, that might lose you votes. And, you know, that's a mystery as to what happens. You know, I've talked to some folks that are in the know, and they say, well, if you get a lottery, you make it legal, you got class three, the Indians get table games. Then I talked to somebody else that's just as much an expert, and what they say, well, the Indians are not going to be able to do anything till they go to Department of Interior, the Indian Regulatory Gaming Commission, IGRA, it is called, and they have to make a decision. So I don't have a clear-cut answer what happens with the Indians if we do a lottery. But here's what I do know. The people back in my district, I never hear them talk about the Indians. And one thing they never ask about is saying, I wish we had a casino. They don't say that. What they say to me is, I wish I could buy a lottery ticket without going to Georgia.
Well, I mean, those are all fair responses, but I guess the problem gets to this, getting three-fifths. A lot of people understand, to get the opportunity for us to vote on it, you guys got high hurdles to overcome in the legislature.
Well, here's what I'm doing. It's a very straightforward approach. I did a printout of the vote yesterday on Senator Marsh's bill. I looked at all the no's, and I'm talking to them one at a time, and saying, would you change your vote from a no to a yes, were it a simple lottery? And we'll see what happens. I mean, that's the way you do it. And they'll probably be, you know, it's like counting guppies. They're constantly moving. There'll probably be some folks that were yes on that bill. There might even be no on a lottery bill. But I will tell you this, we're not going to get a lottery if somebody didn't come forward with a bill.
Well, and then I guess the next question is, do you have a companion in the lower chamber there, somebody to work with you?
I bet I can find somebody. Let me answer your question. I have not talked. Well, of course, all of this transpired yesterday, so I haven't had an opportunity to go fill out someone down in the House. But, you know, I served in the House for three terms, so I know some of those folks, and I'll find somebody. There'll be somebody down there that is in agreement with me that they're tired of hearing their constituents back home ask them why we don't have a lottery here in Alabama.
What is the process for you? You got your lottery bill. Where are we, and how does this timeline go?
Okay. The bill goes to, by rule, it goes to the Tourism Committee, which is chaired by Senator Marsh. And he and I have already discussed it. In fact, he's a co-sponsor of the bill that I dropped. How gracious of him to do that. And so it'll go to tourism. Now, I've got substitute bills that I'll have ready by noon today, because I want to make some changes to really simplify the issue. I'll have those. Then this bill will come up in the committee probably a week from today, next Wednesday, and I'll offer the subs, and hopefully I'll get it voted out of tourism committee. I've begun to talk to a few of the members of tourism to see how they feel. The ones that I've talked to are positive. All I've got to do is get enough votes to get out of tourism, and then try to get it on the floor of the Senate for a vote. So the Senate's not going to vote this out before we take that 1 week break in March 22 through 25 or something like that. We're not going to be here. I mean, we've been working 4 weeks. Time to take a break, right? So
yeah.
So anyway, so maybe I'll have it on the Senate floor when we come back from the break.
We'll certainly be watching that. We're joined by State Senator Jim McClendon here on the program. Very gracious with this time, very hectic time at the State House right now, as you might imagine. Senator, also want to talk to you about this while we got you. You know, obviously COVID's still kind of, I think, the big factor in our lives and dealing with it. But Dr. Scott Harris, the state health officer, and the way that's played out, we've seen a lot of, we've learned a lot of lessons here over the last year. You want to kind of change the system we operate under when it comes to the state health department and kind of get things more centralized, or at least under the governor's purview.
That is correct. I've offered a bill that changes the way the State Department of Health, the members of that committee are chosen. And that committee, by the way, is who chooses the health officer for the state, which in this case is Dr. Harris, Scott Harris. Now, the bill I'm coming forward with has nothing to do with Scott Harris other than the fact that it just alters the way, alters selection for that position. Alabama is unique in the nation in that a private organization selects all the members to a state agency and gives them all the power of a state agency. That state agency determines who the state health officer is. And what my bill does, it makes Alabama consistent with all the other states. It makes that position that Dr. Harris is in right now a cabinet-level position, becomes a secretary of health. And that secretary of health is selected by the governor, not by a private organization, and that the name is then submitted to the Senate for advising consent. So today, the state health officer has zero accountability to the executive branch. The governor has no authority over that position, and the legislature has no authority over that position. With my bill, if it gets enacted, that will change, and we'll be in line with the other states. Alabama is the only state that goes about doing it this way. And the reason for that, Jeff, is, best I can figure, our public health laws were written between 1858 and 1890. So our laws are archaic. So I've got a bill that will update our public health laws here in Alabama.
That's certainly one I think a lot of people are very interested in. What has been the reception to that? Do you find a lot of widespread, at least interest in going that route?
I'll tell you what the challenge has been is getting people educated so that they actually believe we have a state agency that's totally controlled by a private organization, which is the medical association, which is a membership thing. You know, you pay your dues, you get to be a member if you're an MD, pretty exclusive group. So, and this bill, by the way, I was putting this bill together well over a year ago before we ever heard the word COVID. So this has nothing to do with the pandemic. I was putting research in this business a long time before we realized we had a public health crisis here in Alabama. So step A, I spent quite a bit of time educating my fellow senators that this strange condition actually exists. So, yeah, we're getting, it's like people say, I can't believe that. Now, the medical association has, through the private physicians, has been making calls to senators saying, oh, please don't change this. This is not right. But, you know, right now they've got the power, and apparently they don't want to give it up. And I want something that will be a little bit more consistent with the way it's proven to be successful in every other state in the nation.
Senator, you've been very gracious. We appreciate it. We're out of time here, but let's keep in touch, and hopefully wish you the best with this new endeavor with the lottery.
All right, Jeff. Just give me a holler anytime. I'm always glad to visit with you.
Thank you very, very much. That was State Senator Jim McClendon.